Mountain View Correctional Facility in Charleston, Maine is a medium and minimum security facility for approximately 450 residents with 5 years or less left on their prison sentences, the subject of a documentary film called Seeds of Change, Breaking Free from the Prison Food Machine. Mountain View's meal plan is based on from-scratch cooking using many Maine-sourced ingredients, including food grown by residents on-site in a 5-acre prison garden. These initiatives have led to significant cost savings at Mountain View and vocational training apprenticeship programs for residents. These programs have become a model for other correctional facilities both in Maine and elsewhere. This is Common Ground Radio, and I'm Holly Cederholm, your host for a conversation about local food and organic agriculture brought to you by the Maine Organic Farmers and Gardeners Association. Today, I'm joined by Mark McBrine, the food service manager at Mountain View Correctional Facility, who launched a farm-to-table food service program at the facility. Mark manages two kitchens, a 5-acre organic garden, and a food service vocational program. He also oversees the kitchen and dining operations at the Down East Correctional Facility in Bucks Harbor, Maine, and serves on the Farm to Institution New England Correctional Advisory Group. He and his wife own a 47-acre diversified farm and have been farming organically for more than 30 years. They were active producers for schools and other institutions, farmers markets, community-supported agriculture, senior farm share, and cooperatives. Mark, welcome to Common Ground Radio.
Thank you, Holly. It's good to be here.
What was a typical meal in the Mountain View Dining Hall when you first started working there? And what is a typical meal now?
A typical meal for us at Mountain View when I started would have contained a lot more processed food items, things like chicken patties, frozen egg product instead of like fresh cracked eggs would come in a 5-gallon bucket, frozen, and that would be thawed and then cooked in that manner. Things, hamburg patties that were pre-processed, a lot of times had filler in them. Now we use a real fresh ground product that we get from a local vendor and things like that. Just a lot of processed foods, a lot of things that we had came packaged and we just unwrapped them, heated them, and served them.
And now the program can be described as both farm to table and from scratch. So what changes were made in order to shift it from that frozen patty to more of a fresh approach?
Well, when I started as the food service manager, I wanted to try to take a more whole foods approach, purchase products that could be broken down and created into meals and have that happen in a way that was not only beneficial as far as nutrition and appeal, but also in the cost that it took to prepare them. It allowed us to get some better foods and do it at a less cost. And so we first couple things, the eggs were a big thing. I wouldn't have wanted to feed that product to my family. So we got local eggs from a Maine farm that we were able to make anything that was, you know, a breakfast item or in our cooking, anything that had eggs came from these fresh cracked eggs. And that was a big hit. This frozen egg product that we had was being used wasn't because it was actually a cheaper product, it was convenience. And so once I was able to analyze the costs and look at this, it was not hard to make that choice. We then found a Maine farmer that we could get Maine potatoes in a 50-pound bag and get those on a year-round basis. And that worked to allow us to get rid of the things like the frozen bag French fries that were already ready to go, packaged home fry cubes that we would get, or hash browns, those type of things. All the potato products that we got before were processed. And, you know, other than when we served a baked potato or a mashed potato, and even sometimes the mashed potato when I started was an instant potato that was cooked. The first year we had to do it all by hand. We saved enough after the first year that the department allowed me to get some processing equipment that we could actually, put the potatoes through and make French fries, make home fries, make shredded hash brown potatoes, sliced au gratin potatoes. But all that's just allowed us to use a local product that's really good and make these things. And actually, we probably do more different things with that now than we did when we had to buy it all processed.
So when you're saying we, the people who are cooking the food include the residents themselves. So Mountain View has apprenticeship programs that provide vocational skills for the residents. So I'm wondering if you could speak to how they fit into the kitchen system.
When I started in the kitchen working as a cook, we cooked all the meals, the staff, the Department of Corrections staff. And we might have had residents come in that would wash dishes and clean and do things like that, but we cooked all the meals. When I became the food service manager, one of the things that was another change, we decided that, okay, let's get some people in here that would want to be part of an apprenticeship. It wasn't a formal apprenticeship like we have now, but we got three people that agreed that they would learn how to do baking. And so we took a bun recipe for hamburg buns that my mother had that we'd had in the family, and they were always pretty popular when we were doing the farmers markets up in Orono and other places. We sold grass-fed beef and pastured pork and chicken and, organic vegetables. Once in a while, they would have a day where different vendors would have samples that they were doing. And my mom would bring those hamburger buns and we would give out samples to people. And often we would be asked, if we could sell those hamburger buns. And we weren't really set up to do that. That wasn't what we were doing, but they were always a big hit. So we took that recipe and started out training these three how to create this product and how to make bread and how to do hot dog buns, hamburger buns, sub rolls. And at the time, the state contract for these bread products, for instance, the sub rolls were 30, 33, 34 cents a piece for these sub rolls that we would have on the menu. And we were able to take this same recipe, make those into sub rolls, and do it for 5.8 cents across the board, whether we were doing, hamburger bun or a sub roll or whatever it was. It would save a tremendous amount because some form of that bread would be on each meal during the day. And we started immediately saving, and not only saving, but getting very rave reviews on the quality of the bread and the products that we were using compared to the standard, Wonder Bread contract that the state had that we would be getting. So that started the apprenticeship. We worked with the Department of Labor to get the institutional kitchen apprenticeship certified through the Department of Labor. It was a 2,000-hour course. They had to make a year commitment and do that, and then they end up with an apprenticeship certificate from the Department of Labor that doesn't mention, that it was done in an carceral setting. It's a Department of Labor approved apprenticeship, and that's important when they're going out for a job interview to be able to, not that they wouldn't mention they were incarcerated, but this training doesn't say, we did this in prison. It's a Department of Labor approved program.
So, do you have a sense of the impact that such a program makes for the residents' lives, both while they're incarcerated and afterwards?
It definitely makes a big difference. One of the key issues that a lot of the incarcerated residents have when they get out is if they don't have a job, if they haven't been able to save money, then it really puts them in a place of, somewhat desperate situation that they need to be able to. They need a job, but they also need a car or transportation to get to that job. They need to have a place to stay. So they have to have a down payment, for their rent. It ends up being a lot more likely that the temptation to go back to doing some of the things that they were doing in the past, if they don't have work, they tell us it just makes such a difference to be able to have that training, have a chance to get a job, and to be able to save some money while they're going through this apprenticeship program, because they are paid a wage while they're working through this apprenticeship. It's really nice to have the apprenticeships for people to have the job training, but one of the things that we've found is we don't limit it to those that are going to do this for a living, because we have a lot of residents that are very excited to learn this just to go back and be able to introduce this to their families, teach their children how to grow their own food and prepare it for meals. And a lot of them are just as excited about that. And I think that's also important.
Let's go back to the timeline. So when you started working at Mountain View Correctional Facility, it was what year and what year did the apprenticeship program start or thereabouts?
I'm in my 9th year as the food service manager right now, and the bakery apprenticeship started shortly after I started as the food service manager. It became a certified apprenticeship through the Department of Labor, I'm going to say 5 years ago. And since that time, we've graduated 30 plus people from the institutional cooking program. The commissioner, Randall Liberty, wanted to get an apprenticeship for the agricultural program and asked if I would put together a program that we could submit to the Department of Labor for their approval. I drew up a plan for regenerative organic market farm and gardening apprenticeship that was a year-long 2,000-hour course and basically involved all of what would be involved in what we did at our farm if we were going to be producing products to go to market. And so we put that in and they approved it. And we now have graduated two or three from that program and probably have five that are in it right now. But that just started a little over a year ago. So.
You are listening to Common Ground Radio on WERU 89.9 FM. I'm Holly Cederholm, and on today's show, I'm talking with Mark McBrien, an organic farmer and the food service manager at Mountain View Correctional Facility. Mark and Mountain View are subjects of the documentary Seeds of Change: Breaking Free from the Prison Food Machine. Common Ground Radio can be heard on the second Thursday of each month at 4 p.m. on 89.9 FM and at weru.org. So, Mountain View Correctional Facility, in addition to having this food service program, it has 5 acres of gardens, which you manage. And as you mentioned, now has an apprenticeship program that's part of that as well. Can you describe the gardens and what you produce, how it's used, just give folks an overview of that system.
So shortly after I started as the food service manager, I approached the administration to see if it would be possible for me to reach out to the Inland Fisheries and Wildlife, who owned a piece of property across the road from the facility. There's actually many hundreds of acres there that's part of a wildlife preserve, the Bud Levitt Wildlife Preserve. And there was a field right across the road that was just, part of that, but vacant. And they agreed that I could approach the department. They ended up agreeing to let us take 2 acres of that property. We started with that 2 acres. And once they were able to see what we had done with that, they increased it up to 5 acres. Currently, that's what we're farming is 5 acres. We have done as much as 70,000 pounds of product that we've pulled out of there in a year. Our goal is to bring that up to 100,000 pounds. And, it would be really easy for us to come up with that kind of a amount if we were trying to just grow squash and potatoes and heavier items, but we grow well over 50 different kinds of vegetables, try to make a very diverse offering that we can use on our plates, and things like salads and greens and those type of items don't weigh a lot compared to other things, but they make a big difference on the plate and on the meals.
Yeah, you mentioned that salads are one of the things that end up on the plate in the kitchen. What other things that are grown on site are incorporated?
Well, one of the things that we've worked to add, and the dietitian, our state dietitian, to make things easier for us to incorporate local foods, both which we would produce and other farmers and producers in Maine. So we added in a stir fry because we had tried doing it and it was such a hit to have the stir fry that we would incorporate different vegetables depending on the season. And it could be a chicken stir fry, it could be a beef stir fry, it could be a pork stir fry. And then with mixing up vegetables, I mean, we might have bok choy, celery, zucchini, summer squash, chard, kale. We can mix all those different things in, and so as the season goes and the timing, we can make a difference in what we're doing. And a change is a big deal if you're in prison. A lot of things stay pretty constant. We have a 6-week cycle menu, so over that 6-week period, it just repeats after that. And so for us to have the same kind of product before, it might be very processed and very consistent and not much changed. Now we've worked with a dietitian to have her put in distinct comments like seasonal salads, and that way if it's a time that we have a bunch of tomatoes, and any of you that have farmed, how when they come, and so things like cucumbers and that, so we can mix cucumbers and tomatoes, oil, vinegar, salt, pepper, and we have a salad, and she's allowed us to have that on the menu, so it gives us some leeway to use some of these different things. When lettuce this during COVID and in some of the past months since then, lettuce has been really crazy at times. Through Sysco and other vendors, it's risen as high as like $90 for a 20-pound case of just your standard iceberg mix. And though we have lettuce from spring through fall, in the winter, it's kind of hard for us to do that. But what we have done is we also grow lots of different kinds of cabbage. We have some of these other storage, we'll grow beets and things like that. So we've made 11 different kinds of coleslaw and been able to use a coleslaw instead of a lettuce mix. And by changing it up, we might have one that's more Asian and we mix in beets and things. And another time, between the purple and the green cabbage and the Chinese cabbage that we grow, we can change the recipe enough so that they're not getting sick of having the same thing. And yet we're using either cabbage that we're growing or from Maine farmers, and it allows us to even do that in a time of year when we wouldn't have the lettuce.
So the changes in the food program at Mountain View are serving as a model for other facilities in Maine. And you mentioned some of the economic savings that you've achieved there. And I'm wondering if you could talk about what's driving this being a model for other programs and what are they implementing?
Well, our commissioner, Randall Liberty, he introduced a program that's called the Maine Model of Corrections, and it's just trying to normalize life while they're incarcerated to try to prepare them for their return out into society. And, part of this is the apprenticeships, the educational opportunities, giving them good food, preparing them for the time when they're going to return out into the community. And part of the push that the commissioner has wanted to do was to try to take some of the things like what we were doing at Mountain View and move that out to the other facilities to end up having these type of things happen in the other kitchens. A lot of the We have some really good food service managers in the other places, and they've tried to incorporate these things and move towards using more local foods. Each facility in the state now, over a little over a year ago, the commissioner mandated that we were going to have a farm-to-table program at each of the facilities that we have in the state. And now, as of this year, all seven of the facilities have their own gardens and are using this in their kitchens.
And the program at Mountain View was also featured in a documentary called Seeds of Change, Breaking Free from the Prison Food Machine. I'm wondering if you could speak a little bit about that documentary for people who haven't seen it and what you might hope people take away if when they do see it.
Well, back a few years back, probably 4 years now, Impact Justice, Leslie Sobel, Mika Weinstein, I may have pronounced that wrong, but Leslie has headed that up through Impact Justice. They went across the country, started in California, worked down through Texas, and came across the country and ended up in Maine. And they went to prisons to look at their food and what was being served, the good and the bad. And when they ended up in Mountain View, it was the top facility in the state as far as the highest up in the northern part of Maine. And when they came, they were intrigued and kind of blown away by what they saw. They were able to see this farm-to-table program and this scratch cooking. And they went back and put together, I believe it was 154-page food in prison. It was a report that was a food in prison report that was put out to tell of what they saw and what they gained for knowledge and data while they went on this 18-month journey across the country. And in that report, they chose Mountain View as the best representation for what prison food should be in the United States. And when that came out, New York Times called, wanted to do an article. They put that out. And a filmmaker, Max Armstrong, One Wing Productions, saw that news article, got a hold of the report, read it, and was really intrigued. He wanted to do a story about Maine and some project in Maine. So he reached out to Farms to Institution New England to see how he might get a hold of me, called and told me what he was interested in. I can't make those kind of decisions, so I connected him with Randall Liberty, our commissioner, and within 15 minutes, he gave him full access and permission to follow us. He ended up following our residents and this program for 2 years from the point of being incarcerated in some of these apprenticeships, working out in the fields, in the kitchens, and then followed them as they were released out to jobs that they are now doing, and then showed the impact that it was having in their lives. Interviewed them at their homes after they had left. They could say whatever they wanted, and he was able to get a very honest opinion of how important they thought this was. And Max just did an amazing job of telling the story, and it's ended up winning awards all over the country at film festivals. PBS has shown it in states, not just Maine, but Connecticut, New Hampshire, a few different New England states have had it. And we've gotten some good feedback, and even other state correctional agencies have reached out to try to get ideas of how they could incorporate some of the things that we're doing here in Maine.
And do you feel like there are pieces that would apply to states outside of Maine?
Definitely, it's a program that can be replicated in other places. Vermont has taken some of the ideas that we've shared and have already put those into practice. Farms to Institution New England has been a very big supporter of this kind of work. When I started being part of Farms to Institution New England, they had a sector for high schools and elementary schools, colleges, and a sector for hospitals. And now there's a sector that's totally set for correctional institutions. And so there are people involved from each state in New England in this program now trying to just incorporate some of these things into their agencies.
You spoke a little bit about your background before, but you came to this as an organic farmer. Do you think it's important to have someone like yourself involved in these programs to share that baseline of knowledge?
Well, I think a lot of people could be trained to do this. it just worked out really well that I had a background in food service and a background in organic farming. In other states, and even in our state, there's been some learning curves as far as, we could have someone that was passionate about growing food at certain facilities. We could have somebody that's passionate about putting good food into the menus. But to have someone that had both of those passions, I think it just helped us become the model a lot easier because I didn't have to try to convince the agriculture to grow certain things, and I didn't have to, as the agriculture convince the kitchen to use it. It was something that was right from the start, the purpose that we were working towards, and were able to get a really good staff. And as time went on, the buy-in took place and the residents were excited. And now we have a staff and a resident population that when we do get new staff in, whether it's Department of Corrections staff or resident staff, it's just the way we do it now. So when they come in, they just learn what we do, and hopefully that's a lot easier to continue and have that go on. Even if there wasn't someone like me there, it's something that has happened long enough now that I see that it's going to continue.
Do you have any changes on the horizon, either in the gardens or in the kitchen that you are able to talk about or anything that you're excited about?
We try to add things in every day. We add in new recipes. We add in, items that we grow. We started a few years back growing like 300-foot beds of sweet potatoes, which I had done at my farm, and so I knew, they would grow in Maine. And we ended up with 300-foot beds that produced 982 pounds of sweet potatoes, and that was a real big hit. So we've increased to like 1,500-foot beds now this year. And so we just try to, we grow a lot of melons. We've got probably 11 or 12 different kinds of melons. They were a big hit. We could do a lot more herbs than we did at first. A lot of times, a lot of prison food isn't going to have a ton of flavor in it. A handful of fresh herbs can make a big difference. There's always more things. It's been busy for me just to, as I've tried to travel and help and work to get everything established in the other places. I guess as time goes on and they become more self-sufficient in those areas, there's still more things that we'd like to do at Mountain View to take it to another level. We're working on trying to look at putting into place some permaculture strips that would have multiple different kinds of fruit and nut trees and berry bushes and things. Just looking at all kinds of, there's all kinds of projects that we could do.
Well, Mark, thanks so much for taking the time to talk with me this morning.
Thank you.
This has been Common Ground Radio, which airs on the second Thursday of each month at 4 p.m. on WERU Community Radio 89.9 FM. Archives of previous episodes can be found on weru.org, as well as the WERU app. I'd like to thank Mark for joining me today and the show's editor, Claire Boland. Stay tuned for more great programming.